You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Hope you're having a great night. Hope you got home safely. If you're still on your way, be careful out there. We've got weather coming your way, coming our way. We are broadcasting from downtown Green Bay. It's supposed to start, of course, right during my drive home. But it's going to be bad in Madison, Milwaukee, here in Northeast Wisconsin. There's a lot of stuff on the way, so be careful out there. That was a great hour number one. Would you say so?
I would say so. That was fun.
I don't even know if we can top it. Maybe we should just put a rerun on and get out of here.
Oh, you want to beat the
snow? Not just saying that to beat the weather. it was fun. We talked to Jane Matinair, who is the host of Matinair on Air here on Civic Media. She is retiring after over 40 years in broadcasting. What a career. Like, spinning tunes, polka, rock, overnights, morning, did news, and then now hosting her own show for the last couple of years. That's quite a career. So it was fun to talk to Jane. But, you know, it was funny because when that movie Green and Gold came out, and we had the director on the show.
Yeah.
Jane saw it before I did, and she said, I want you to notice something in it, and then we'll talk about it. She had me on her show, and I'm watching this movie looking for something that would jump out at me about it, that bugged Jane, and I'm kind of mad that she did that because I really didn't. The whole movie, I'm just looking for that.
You didn't even remember the story?
Something about the Packers. It was really strange. And then when I went on there, I didn't even relate to it at all. They left a ladder out? No Wisconsinite would ever leave a ladder out? I would.
Well.
Do you own a ladder?
No, I actually don't. But I don't think my brother would leave out a ladder.
He's that kind of guy?
Yeah.
When you're looking in someone's second floor, always take your ladder with you when you go home. That's the lesson.
You know, maybe I'll get a ladder just so I don't leave it outside.
There, it just proved Jane's point. I think that's the least we could do because she's retiring. So, so we did that. We talked about this great story and about a 10-year-old kid. Do I still have that or did I throw that away? That was such a great story. Conrad found this on the Shepherd Express, and I'm just going to read it again because it's so funny. November 14th, a mom popped into an elementary school in Tennessee to deliver some paperwork, leaving her 10-year-old son in the car outside. She returned to the parking lot to find the car gone, a TV station reported, and assumed it had been stolen with her son inside. A witness said they had seen the car driving recklessly out of the parking lot, but when police checked the family home about a mile away, they found the car in the garage with the kid in the house with his dad. He explained that he had an argument with his mom and decided to drive himself home. Officers declined to press charges because he's too young and could not be held criminally responsible. You know, you probably want to keep a file on that kid, though. I've been mad at my mom even when I was a kid. I would never have the guts to drive an automobile a mile at that age.
Oh, definitely not.
That's a weird kind of kid.
I can't even reach. I couldn't reach the pedals.
Yeah.
I didn't know it to be a 10 at 2.
I'd be scared I'd hurt someone, too. Like, I'm not, I got this. What 10-year-old?
That's a confident 10-year-old. You know?
A little strange. I mean, keep an eye on that kid.
Maybe he likes to drive. Maybe you'll see him at NASCAR one day.
Yeah, and then I'll have a great story. I do think it was interesting when I do a lot of voice text. You've seen some really crazy messages from me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was writing Jane's questions today, and it said, "It is my pleasure to welcome Jane Matt in here." I said Matt Nair, and you know, voice text isn't going to get Matt Nair. So Jane Matt in here. And I got one for Greg Vadney too. I'm going to share when Greg's here because that made no sense either.
You know, I think, you know, there's sometimes like today, I get a message from you and it.
What did I say now?
I think you didn't realize that it already had the whole message there, but it was a duplicate. Like,
oh, yeah. That happens sometimes when I hit send, the whole message like it sends two messages.
I'm like, wow, he really wants to get this message across.
Did you get back to me?
No, probably not.
You didn't get back to me twice to even the score. All right, let's remind our awesome listeners what our question of the night. Here is the Nightlight question of the night once again, folks.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Here we go. What is your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? One of the legend, one of the true legends of Hollywood, maybe in the conversation as one of the greatest actors ever, top 10. I don't know. Where do you rank them? You're welcome to share that as well. But what is your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? He just turned 88 like 2 or 3 days ago. And I've been meaning to talk about Jack Nicholson on the show. We have not. So Monica in the 608 says, here's Johnny, The Shining. Have you seen that?
No, actually, I have never. Well, all right, so I've seen it in a way of just a little bit.
Clips?
Clips, but I saw it in Ready Player One, because a big part of that movie and the book is that they go through The Shining.
Wait, what do you mean?
So the movie, Ready Player One, is like all like VR, like it's like a video game movie kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And one part of it, to get to this like Easter egg, they have to go through The Shining. Is like a video game. It's
like an actual paranormal Shining episode.
Yeah. It was,
oh wow.
It was crazy. It was. I mean, that if you haven't seen Ready Player One, that's a phenomenal movie. And
I have not seen it. When is that? When did that come out?
2015 around there, 2016.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I would make a joke like, "What is that? I watch a guy play video games," but it wouldn't even be funny because that's what people do. People watch other people play video games. I know that's not the movie.
Well, it's not like a stream, like, you know, it's like, it's a follows a fantastic story.
Yeah. All right, cool. Good to know. Then we've got Matt in Middleton. He says, The Shining and good as It Gets are tied for me. Both are two sides of Jack. Oh, that's a great text, actually. That's very true. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Roger from Stevens Point. Also, Musco Day. Musco Day. All right. Don't let me forget that kind of guy.
And we're definitely going to do it again.
You take a memo. Well, we don't hear from the... If we heard from Musk O'Day every day, we would know it, right? Yeah. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite Jack Nicholson movie is The Witches of Eastwick with Five Easy Pieces as a close second. Five Easy Pieces is on my list for a rewatch. Thank you, Jim. Chris in the 773 says, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I like his old school movies. Yeah, no argument there, Chris. Great stuff. Jack from the 414 says, Best Nicholson movie? Don't forget the Witches of Eastwick. It may not be his best performance, but he was so much fun in it. Very well put. Those are all great texts. Are we caught up on the stream, Con? Oh, we've got Daniel. I love this username, Daniel Barry Sports Highlights.
Keeping the people informed with highlights.
You think that's what he does? He's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a YouTube channel.
Check him out, yeah. He says, Happy Tuesday, everyone. Happy Tuesday to you, Daniel. Thanks for being with us tonight. And then our pal Craig Kinnett says, Without a second thought, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I think that's our front runner so far. I said Chinatown. I think I'm the only one that said Chinatown. So do you have any thoughts? All right, now we're one day removed. And it's so funny that, like, you know, the Packers beat the Bears. People in the national media, like Colin Cowherd, was like, this is a win for the Bears because they apparently looked legit. That's how bad the Bears franchise is when you come close or it's a one possession game, that's a win for you. And that didn't make me feel that good as a Bear fan. Now, they have been fun to watch this year. Like, no longer, gone are the days where I had to pirate the Bears game and the porn ads would come up and I go, well, this is better. I'm going to watch these. So that's a good thing, but
well, you
know,
I mean, it was a great game. That's
yeah, it was a good game.
That's the type of rivalry I want, like, renewed, because
yes.
it was so fun to watch. I mean, I was stressed out. I'm sure you were stressed out on the Bears side too. It was a lot of fun to watch.
I mean,
defense has played pretty well, and just watching the quarterback play was pretty cool too. But I mean, that run game for the Bears is legit.
It's totally legit. And to the point, Conrad, where I was like, that last, I think the Bears had the ball with like 3:30 left. And it was obvious they didn't want the Packers to get the ball back.
Yeah.
But I don't, for a guy as smart as Ben Johnson was, and I'm glad he's our coach, I just did what you did, our coach.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think he managed the time really well. I don't know if Caleb would have thrown that pass. He could have run. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but
whatever. I mean, I see his point of not letting him get the Packers. I mean, anytime you don't want the Packers to have the ball in the last possession.
Especially when you don't have a pass rush.
Yeah.
And you have injured. Yeah, absolutely.
And I do think that if they do score there, they would have won for two.
I do too.
And I mean, the next game is going to be, I think, even better too.
It should be. I think, and I should be happy. It's still, I want to beat the Packers, even though I live here and I don't hate the Packers. It's come on. But it's year one. I'm trying not to get too,
It's
a big improvement.
This is the thing you kind of saw with the Lions, too, is that the first year they with the new head coach, it was like they showed signs of greatness but also weaknesses. And, correct. I mean, look at the Lions now.
Sage Weil, our fearless leader here at Civic Media on the text line, says a few good men or one flew over the cuckoo's nest. That is definitely our winner tonight. So far, we've got a ways to go, but one flew over the cuckoo's nest is in the lead. A few good men is the one I probably would have given my honorable mention to as well. I kind of forgot about it, but thank you, Sage. Good to know you're listening, and thanks for the text. I agree. Let me ask you this, because I wanted to get to this last night, and we asked Mike Clemens a little bit. If you're Matt LaFleur and you're going across to shake Ben Johnson's hand after Ben Johnson said that, and I'm sure Matt LaFleur is like, well, he's just trying to get the fans riled up. I'm sure he respects me, but he called him out over all the other coaches. I don't know if I'm shaking his hand either.
I'm doing the same thing as Matt LaFleur, just giving him a
very
good
quick
good game. All right, see ya.
Do you remember, this was very funny, the Lions played Harbaugh's team. He was probably coaching San Francisco at the time. And when they were passing on the field to shake hands, Harbaugh shook his hand and put his hand on the guy's shoulder. Jim Schwartz was the Lions coach, shook Schwartz's hand and kind of put his hand on the guy's shoulder and kind of pushed him away and ran. And Schwartz starts running and then realizes, and he gets a mad face and he turns around and goes back to Harbaugh. It was so beautiful, and it was vintage Jim Harbaugh, just trying to get under someone's skin. It was so great.
Well, speaking of Harbaugh, last night's game, I don't know if you watched that.
I did not.
Jalen Hurts had 5 turnovers.
That's what I hear. I know.
That's rough.
I had so much to do to get caught up on the show after last weekend. I was like, it was like 11:30 when I finished working. I'm like, oh, I forgot about the game. And that was a good one. Two good teams. That's rare.
I mean, it was just a turnover, like, battle.
Yeah.
Because Justin Herbert had an interception and a fumble.
Yeah.
So overall, it was like, I think, 8 complete turnovers with both teams.
Oh, that's terrible football. coming up in just a few minutes, folks, Greg Vadney will be here at 6:35 to tell us about a really cool event happening at the Rahr West Museum in Manitowoc. Greg will be here in studio. We love when Greg is here. And we've got a Manitowoc quiz for Greg, one of our nightlight quizzes that we love giving. So that's coming up at 6:35. Then Jenny Peterson from Madison's History Makerspace, a really cool event happening on the Capitol Square this holiday season, will be here in hour number 3, or act 3, as we like to call it. All that is coming up very shortly. We'll read some more of your texts when we come back. And after this very short break, I'm going to tell you about a statue that is being put up in Detroit that I just don't get. It's based on a movie character, and I just think it's stupid. But we'll have a discussion. As you know, phone lines are open. You can weigh in, too. I'll tell you all about that coming up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Greg Vadney, ladies and gentlemen, is, if we had a green room here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay, Greg would be in there having a cocktail right now. If this was, if we had a green room and this was the 60s and Dean Martin was here, Greg would be hanging out, having a cocktail, waiting to come onto the show. But he will be here shortly. He is the executive director of the Rar West Museum in Manitowoc. Beautiful Manitowoc. We're going to give Greg a quiz. He's going to tell us about a really cool Christmas event coming up. That's in just a few minutes. I saw this, and did you Google that thing I asked you to look at, Con, the RoboCop?
And I, well, you should go into more details first and just...
Well, what do you mean? What am I missing?
Well, just kind of, I guess it's cool in some aspect, but like... Why RoboCop?
Of all, like, Detroit has so many great people from Detroit, even movies that were shot there. They're erecting a RoboCop statue similar to the one of Rocky Balboa in Philadelphia. And I'm okay with, like, movie characters being erected in cities that they're known, they're synonymous with. But Bill Burr has a great joke about the Rocky statue. He's like... He equates it to racism. He says, how racist are you? You have an actual champion in Joe Frazier from Philadelphia, but they put up a fictional character of Rocky. It's a joke. It's funny. I don't have a problem with the Rocky statue. Rocky embodies a spirit, an underdog. I like that. RoboCop. Did you see this statue, though? It looks like you're pulling into a police state. Because he's got the RoboCop on and the gun. It's awful, especially for this day and age. He looks like the king of the ICE cartel or something.
I don't know. When I see statues, I am like, yeah, that's cool. But I feel like they never actually look like what they're supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen the Dwayne Wade statue?
In, where would that be, in Milwaukee?
In Miami.
Oh, no.
It is by far.
Looks nothing like him.
No, it's terrible.
That's kind of true of the Jordan statue in Chicago, too. It looks like Jordan with the pose because he's extended and dunking.
Yeah.
But it's the face doesn't really, I don't know.
I think they should go back to the workshop on some of these statues.
Listen, I just think it's weird. You've got Beverly Hills Cop started in Detroit. Put an Eddie Murphy statue up or John Cusack from Gross Point Blank or Motown. They probably already have a lot of Motown stuff there, but I just think. RoboCop. It's so creepy. It looks like you're pulling into a police state. It's terrible. And Detroit is on the upswing. Like, things are looking up there. It's supposed to be great. I don't know. I just thought it was strange. What would your statue be in Green Bay if you could if you could not pick a Packer?
That's
Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just, you know, one of the quarterbacks. I'm sorry, I can't.
Those are Packers, Conrad.
I'm sorry. It's like,
unless you met a quarterback of like St. Norbert's, that would work. All right. Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? Jack Nicholson just turned 88. I don't think he's working anymore, but he has just turned 88. He's had a monstrous career, and he is a really good actor. He's very much a caricature. And every bad stand-up comic had their Jack Nicholson impression. If they did impressions, that was like their go-to, the first one. And they were, most of them were pretty bad. But he turned 88, so that's kind of cool. And Conrad, did you know the Winter Olympics are right around the corner?
I actually didn't. But now I'm excited. I love watching
really?
The snowboarding.
Okay.
It's so fun to, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, I always watched Shaun White, and that's just...
The flying tomato?
Just doing those tricks. Just, like, I used to snowboard, and I was so unathletic on it, I broke my collarbone in half.
Really? Were you... You're supposed to put your feet on the snowboard, though, right?
Well, all right, so let's just say this. I was trying to impress someone, and I went over the smallest little roller, and like, a little jump, and I tried doing a 360, and I got 90 degrees.
Ooh. That's not even...
Clipped my board, and then, you know, instead of putting my head first... Like, when I was falling pretty fast, I put my shoulder first, and, well, let's just say my bone snapped in half.
Were you trying to impress a girl? And you look like a total spaz? That's the best, though. I mean, I'm sorry you were injured, but it is funny when, like, one of your friends is trying to impress someone.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine during intramurals, we were playing intramural hockey, and this girl he liked walked into the gym, and he tried to put the jersey on quick, but his arm got caught, and he's flailing around because he knows she's coming, and he just looked like the biggest spaz ever. But you actually had an injury.
Yeah, well, so I, like, after I did that, I bombed the hill. I went straight down it, and I didn't know anything was wrong. Adrenaline was just pumping, you know, obviously. Yeah. I felt something, but I was like, ah, just a little bruise. And I tried to unhook my bindings, and I, like, my arm was just limp. Just like, I couldn't move it. I'm like, that's when the adrenaline stopped. And I was like, okay, that's pain.
This is bad too, because I brought this up because it seems like the Winter Olympics are always right around the corner. Do they do the Olympics every year for winter sports? It seems like it's way more often than 4 years.
I think it's every like four, every,
that's
every
what
four.
It's supposed to be. I always thought it was.
Well, I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. I really like the Winter Olympics, actually. I think it's fun to watch.
You know what's fun to watch? Two dudes on the luge. On the luge, yeah. Laying on each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it, guys.
I mean, look how fast they're going, though. That's cool.
That's insane. Yeah. It's, you know, it's like spooning and sledding. It's like a crazy sport.
You know, you practice. All right, you ready to spoon?
Let's just spoon here on the floor first, and then we'll try it on a luge and see how that works out. Oh, man. Is that promo material?
I think so.
All right, we've got text to read. I'm going to tell. Oh, I wanted to get into Stranger Things too, but we'll do that. We'll do that soon. Greg Vadney is here coming up next, folks. After the news, we're going to talk about a really cool event happening in Manitowoc, and it's right around the corner, just like the Winter Olympics. And we're going to give Greg a Manitowoc quiz. We'll see how he does. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, my love, I really want to know you. I really wanna go with you. I really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight, producing the show. You are due for a haircut, aren't you?
It's been like 2 months.
Is that a weird thing to say? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm locked in because Conrad gets a haircut religiously every what?
2 months?
2 months. Okay.
Yep.
Is that how it works when you have hair?
Well, that was not a very nice thing for me to bring up, Greg. I swear it had nothing. I was not trying.
No, that's fine. I deal with it, you know? That's why I grow the beard.
The beard is sweet.
I just want hair to grow in some direction.
Greg Vadney is here. Folks, that is Greg's voice. He is joining us in the studio, as he does periodically here at Nightlight. We love when Greg drops by and spends some time with us. Okay, so Greg, you're the executive director of the Rahr West Museum in Manitowoc.
Yes, sir.
You also happen to be a very big fan of the Winter Olympics, which we were just talking about.
I am. My older brother, Brian Vadney, shout out. And I loved the Olympics growing up because, obviously, we all love the patriotism of it when you're growing up in kind of like Cold War, right?
Right.
But also the obscure sports. Man, I have come to the realization in my older age, there's nothing I love better than watching somebody who's really good at something.
Oh, I
do
totally agree.
Whatever they're really good at.
Absolutely.
No matter what, whether it's cooking or, you know, rope climbing.
Reading. You ever watch a guy read?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Man, look at him go. Turning pages.
Lips moving, turning pages. Yeah.
But also, man, watching bobsledders go, or even like curling, stuff like that. I can watch that forever and then like learning these new sports. So I'm totally in.
Okay.
So, like, I can remember trying to explain to friends that there was something called Nordic combined. And they'd be like, yeah, it's where you, like, cross-country ski and then you shoot. I'd be like, no, that's biathlon.
Yeah.
Nordic combined is a competition that is in the Olympics where one person does cross-country skiing and then the next day they ski jump. And then they have, like, a combined score, the time and the length. So that's an Olympic sport.
Yeah,
where
that's
you have
crazy.
To, like, Like, you there's no downhill, no slalom. You have to combine cross-country skiing with ski jumping. Like,
too hard. Too
how can you not love different. That?
No,
I
that's
some
good.
Finn is going to break his legs. I want to watch Finn. It.
Listen, I like the Olympics. I like competition. It seems like the Winter Olympics are always, every time I turn around, it's the Winter Olympics. It's like, let's take a breath. But I don't know.
I think it's every 4 years.
You're probably right.
But you know, they started staggering it, what, in 94?
Yeah.
Where the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics are at a different time.
But you told me growing up in New York,
yeah,
a story when you first got here.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about my own Nordic
cool.
combined. So growing up, I really didn't ski that much. My family didn't ski, but a lot of my friends skied. We had a ski club at school and all that because I grew up in upstate New York. And one of my very good friends, I'm shouting out names all night tonight, awesome. Mike Dowd, his family had a place in Lake Placid where they had the Olympics. So when we were in our 20s, a bunch of us went up to hang out for a weekend in Lake Placid. And I had skied a few times, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to try snowboarding. So in the morning, I went, rented a snowboard and started to, like, test it out on the beginner hill and all that. And I'm with, like, a bunch of, like, 8-year-olds. And the rest of my friends are skiing because they know what they're doing. So we have lunch together, maybe, you know, have a few drinks. And my buddies are all like, well, why don't you come with us? You've kind of gotten the hang of this. You can hop on the gondola at White Face, which is the Olympic mountain where they had the Olympic
nice.
Downhill. And, you know, we're going to go up to the Double Black Diamond, but you can stop off at Intermediate. And I was like, all right, sounds good. So we hop on the gondola. Gondola doors close. They all start laughing. And I don't get it for a second or two. And they're like, dude, there's no, like, stop on the gondola. It's going to the top of the mountain.
There's only one way down.
So I remember, like, I was like a dog rubbing its butt on the floor, like trying to find a way to not go down the Black Diamond. But there's only one way down, you know? So I start trying to go as slowly as possible. But it's a series, and anybody who's learned how to ski or snowboard knows this. It's a series of, like, bombing down way too fast for, like, 150 yards. And
you
then,
must have been
like,
so
careening
freaked
out of control.
Out.
And, like, my buddies thought it was funny for, like, maybe 2 minutes, and then they were like, somebody's going to get hurt. And I remember crashing into a little kid. And, I mean, I, like, caught him.
Yeah.
But his parents were not happy. And I was like, I'm sorry. I am completely helpless. I am in an uncontrolled fall down a mountain right now. And I'm sorry your child got
that
in the way.
That is so crazy.
So that's my buddies.
But did
I'm still good friends with them.
But did they know how to ski? Like, could they handle that?
They
or was it a joke
all
on every?
They were diamond skiers.
Oh, wow.
They were
so it was
just
you.
Fine.
And they were just
it was me.
With you.
And they thought it was hilarious until they were like, wait, we might have killed our friend.
Oh, that's so
it was
awful.
Scary.
Wow.
It was a scary drop. I was not ready for it. But Conrad, you're a snowboarder a little bit. You probably could have handled it.
I haven't snowboarded since I was 14. So almost,
and he broke his collarbone.
Oh.
12 years.
Yeah.
I survived. I remember skiing one of the first times I was skiing and thinking, like, how do people get hurt? Because I was on, like, a beginner hill. And then I started to really, really go. And then the next thing I knew, like, everything was everywhere. You know, the yard sale where, you know,
I've done
your
that a
pole is
times.
In a tree. And I was like face down. And I'm like, oh, that's how you get hurt. Okay.
That's how you learn, too,
I got
right?
It. Yeah.
I don't even like, you know, we were at Blue Harbor once in Sheboygan. And I lived in L.A. for years. I never learned how to surf. I always meant to. I thought I was going to stay out there. And I just never learned. I don't ski. I'm not really an outdoorsy guy, Greg. I'm kind of an inside guy.
Inside guy.
I like my color TV.
Yeah.
But at Blue Harbor, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get on one of those boogie boards on the wave thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got the wave.
I'm holding the hand of the person that works there. That looks very masculine. As I step onto the board, and I'm on the board for about maybe a quarter of a second, and then a whoosh, and I don't know where I am. My shorts came down to varying degrees. I thought I was like fall. It was nuts. And I thought I was like, when I came to, I was at the bottom, right at the, like in 3 inches of water. And then the thing shot me back up. My wife and kids were laughing so hard. And I'm apologizing to people because it's a family atmosphere. And
well,
you know, you don't know what you're doing. You know, it's terrible. And there are reels all over social media of guys
of people that
like
do
me
that.
Thinking they can handle something. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
They would make a ton of money by just selling like super slow-mo of that.
You have to
for the family members to buy.
But we're all athletes. I think that's what that's my message
definitely
here.
The point of what we're talking about right now.
Greg Vadney is here. Greg, I have to tell you, I was saying this to Conrad earlier. I use voice text a lot because first when I started typing, my writing muscles no longer work. I can't write. My cursive's terrible. Now I do voice text because I'm too lazy to type. And then I have to typically go back and fix everything. But when I wrote down your name today, it was Greg. Wait, where is that? I had that somewhere here. Greg Vadney. Bad knee. So maybe a callback from your skiing story. I don't know.
But I will tell you what, that resonates in this 50-year-old body.
Okay, good to know. But your last name is Vadney.
Vadney.
Great to have you here. You are the in charge. You're the man, the executive director of the Rahr West Museum in Manitowoc.
And
it's such a great museum here in Northeast Wisconsin. And you know, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. Manitowoc is such a beautiful city, right on the water.
Yeah.
I feel like more people should want to go to Manitowoc,
even though it is a destination. I'll tell you, being that I am from New York originally, the museum is on North 8th Street, and that means we're 8 blocks away from Lake Michigan. And when you, even in the winter, get like the sun coming up over Lake Michigan, it's resort, you know, it's the feeling of resort. And, in the summers, I've taken photographs that look like the Caribbean because where we are at Manitowoc on the lake, you get this, azure bluish green, on the lake that, on the right day in July. You can think to
it's
yourself,
like
where are the palm trees, man?
Yeah.
This is pretty resort-like. And of course, no matter what season it is, we have some wonderful culture, including the Rahr West Art Museum.
It's a great facility, and you have a really cool exhibit happening now or coming up, the Keith Haring subway drawing.
Keith Haring just opened on Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that is it's the end of our 75th year. We're celebrating our 75th anniversary here in 2025. And we wanted to wrap it up with something big. And for us, there are a few names as big as Keith Haring. Now, I say that knowing that listeners might not know the name Keith Haring immediately, but you will recognize his artwork because you've probably seen it on T-shirts, on advertisements, on buttons, on hats. Keith Haring passed away in 1990, but his artwork still resonates. And we've got a collection of artwork that he did very early in his career, but it's very recognizable. We're talking about things like his Radiant Baby, Three-Eyed Monster, his dogs. I can actually...
If you can hold them up,
you guys,
hold them
you guys,
up to the stream.
I can hold up some of these for the anybody who's viewing. They're very simple ideas.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
if
I
you
know
look
this,
at something like this... That's Keith Haring, and you've probably
you see
seen
it
Hold a
it up
million
a little more
times.
If you can, Greg, just a little closer.
Yeah, there you go. Oof, I gotta get my backwards.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you know
right.
these dancing figures,
the guy running. Yeah,
these are things, and the dog, and all that. These are, you know, this is artwork that resonates here. I'll hit it again. There.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, hold it up to the camera. There we go. Up a little bit. Yeah, sure.
And
So
we get to tell his story a little bit and talk about how he came up with this. Because when you look at it, you're like, okay, it's very simple. Like, these are very elementary type things. There's the feeling of, I could have done this.
Right.
And here, the deal with Haring was, one, he grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania. And he loved cartoons, like anybody from the middle part of the century. He was born 58, grew up in the 60s and early 70s, And he's doodling. He's doing cartoons like every kid. He loves Disney. He loves, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons. But he, from childhood, was an artist. And he started to develop first in Pennsylvania and then going to school in New York City in 1978. In New York, in 1978 to 1980, he ends up there at a time where culture in New York turns on its head and then explodes into the 1980s. At the forefront.
Let's pick up right there. Greg Vadney is here. We'll have more with Greg after this very short break. We're talking about Keith Haring and his very simple but very not simple art. We'll talk more about that and all things happening at the RAR West with our pal Greg. After this very short break, it's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. When I first heard that, I thought it was the actual song True by Spandau Ballet, but it was
That was Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Yes.
PM Dawn.
Great tune.
How about that?
I don't mind sampling when it's kind of really different. That's a great song.
It is. And they must have, if that original, the original was Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet.
So that wouldn't have been very long after the original that was sampled.
Maybe 10?
Yeah.
10, 12 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
That's the voice of Greg Vadney. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Greg is the executive director of the RAR West Museum in Manitowoc, a great little gem of a museum that we have here in Northeast Wisconsin. Before the break, we were talking about the Keith Haring Subway Drawings exhibit that you just opened recently.
Yeah, that's right. So it's very fortunate for us to be able to get a collection. There have been a few Keith Haring exhibits that have traveled around the country, but they are major exhibits in major museums, and his artwork, it's really hard to come by. So we really lucked into this. We are working with the Alex Trimper Gallery out of Greenwich, Connecticut. Alex had come to us with his collection of these subway drawings, and I'll explain those in just a second.
Okay.
But for a museum our size to have a Keith Haring exhibit
Incredible.
Is nearly unheard of. And this is the first time that any of these drawings have been seen in the Midwest.
Really? How do you do it? How did you get them, Greg?
Connections, pure connections in this
case. Good for
case.
You, man. Wow, that's impressive.
Right place, right time. These have exhibited on the East Coast and in Europe, but they've never been out here in the Midwest. So we are really, really happy to be able to have them at the RAR West. And we have about 35 subway drawings.
Okay.
And I feel the need to explain. So as I had kind of shown people, and once again, I encourage people, just Google Keith Haring and you'll say, oh, I've seen that. But Haring did designs that were very basic. And some of the reason why he did basic designs was because he moved to New York in 1978. He was studying at the School of Visual Arts in New York. And he fell in love as soon as he went to New York with graffiti. He saw it everywhere. This is 1978, 79 in New York City. The subways are filled with them. But the other thing about the subway was when advertising posters in the city, the advertisement, ran out when the advertisement had run its course, MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, would cover it in black paper. Well, the story goes that one day he was at the Times Square subway station and he saw this black paper in a frame, just blank black paper. And he was like, this is my chance to be a graffiti artist. So he went upstairs, bought some white chalk, came back down, and did a chalk drawing. So it had to be quick and simple. And he started to do these, much like subway writers, much like graffiti artists, were doing the same thing you would see over and over again, because that was kind of their calling.
Their signature, right?
It was their signature.
Exactly.
And for him, it was the Radiant Baby, like a crawling baby with lines coming off of it. And that is probably the best known Keith Haring. So he started to do this, and it was illegal. He would get arrested from time to time. You know, he'd get a ticket usually,
sure.
Nothing big. But he began to build a name for himself. So by 1980, 81, when he's doing this, people are like, I see these things in the subway, and they're babies or monsters or dogs he would do, robots. But he was kind of unknown. By then, he had kind of stepped away from school, and he was working at different galleries in New York, and he was kind of getting himself plugged into the New York scene. And this is a time where New York is really bubbling, right?
Right.
It's gotten through the bad years of in the 1970s. And I'll tell you what, the other thing is that he's there when hip-hop is blowing up. So he falls in love with hip-hop. He becomes good friends with people like Afrika Bambaataa and Fab Five Freddy, Grandmaster Flash, some of the big early names in rap and hip-hop.
Wow.
And they are all kind of working together. And he has this period in late 1981 where he has three shows, two group shows and one solo show. He goes from being an unknown who people might have noticed his work in the subways to, by 1982, he's doing solo shows all around the world. He's in Milan.
That's so cool.
He's in Paris. He's in Tokyo. And he's all over New York. And he goes, you know, 0 to 1,000, right, into the stratosphere. And he becomes probably second to Andy Warhol, the most popular, biggest artist in the world, and certainly the biggest artist in New York. His good friend Jean-Michel Basquiat is also like a big artist in the 1980s.
Heard him too, yeah.
But he and Basquiat are both bright burning stars. This is like 1982, let's say, they become famous. Basquiat's dead by 88 from a drug overdose.
Mm.
And Haring contracts AIDS in 88 and dies in early 1990. So it's only a 7-year period where these guys are the biggest thing on earth. And Haring continued to do the subway drawings up until 85. So he goes from being a guy who the police are hassling to 2 years later, when he's doing those drawings, the police are calling their buddies and being like, Haring's here. And he's taking the subway, and he does like 40 of these a day. So he'd go on the subway before he was famous and after he was famous. He'd get on the subway and he'd travel to all of these stops looking for the paper. And if he had blank paper, he had his chalk, he would draw it. He'd do it in like 2 minutes, and then he'd get on the subway, sometimes with a group of other people who would just follow him around to watch. And that's where these subway drawings came from.
And they're at the Rar West.
And they're at the Rar West. These are some. Most of them got torn up and thrown out. He did probably thousands of them during a 5-year period. But there are only handfuls of them left. And so this is part of the collection. It's really cool. You can see some of like the poster that's still glued to them.
That's so cool. And you have them. We'll talk more about this. This is great. Greg Vadney is here, folks, the executive director of the Rar West Museum in Manitowoc, a really outstanding art museum. And they have a great display on right now. Keith Haring. Haring. Yeah. And all right. When we come back, folks, in hour number three, more text to win. We're going to talk Wisconsin Historical Society, and we'll spend a few more minutes with our pal, Greg Vadney. Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Coming right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.